4. Leto. It's uncertain what precise conditions precipitate a book's waking up and becoming a character. Some restless characters must be soothed back into their bindings once a decade. Others may not stir for several centuries. Some wake when disturbed with attention. Others fidget with neglect. Some ache to be told. Others appear to want to escape their own narrative, or improvise upon it. The only certainty is a book is most at risk while its author is alive. Like any good story, unwritten books have the capacity for great healing and great hurts. We do not act out of cruelty. The safest place for an unwritten book to be, for both it and its author, is sleeping in the library, dreaming what stories it will tell. Librarian Gregor Henry, 1944 CE. The slap turned Leto's chin. He took a step back from where they stood near the counter of the coffee shop, but Brevity advanced on him, hands on her hips.
Did you think I wouldn't find out?
Leto twisted, meeting pair after pair of blandly curious eyes. They had the attention of the entire shop, whether out of sympathy or annoyance. Claire positioned herself discreetly at the far wall, near the book's table. The hero, as Claire had called him, and his companion were entirely focused on Brevity's display.
You found out?
He had just enough warning to flinch before another open hand aimed for his shoulder. Brevity burst into a very believable font of tears. The former muse had mastered the art of crying prettily, and Leto heard sympathetic murmurs drift among the coffee shop's patrons. He reached out to pat Brevity on the shoulder.
I'm sorry.
Don't touch me!
Although the red-haired author was riveted, the hero began to lose focus as he scanned the crowd. His eyes stopped when they stumbled upon Claire. The two locked gazes with a crackle of energy that went unnoticed by the rest of the shop. A flash of silver hung from Claire's fingertips, held low at her side like a blade. Her lips moved. The faintest silver script swayed just a moment in the air between them. The hero's eyes narrowed and he stood up from the table with a murmured word to his companion. Brevity cleared her throat, bringing Leto back to their improv.
Can't you at least tell me what I did?
The hero and the librarian exchanged a series of hissed words and sharp gestures across the way. Claire seemed to get the advantage when she flicked up the hand holding her tool. The hero blanched and shot nervous eyes toward his oblivious companion.
It's like you're not even here.
A nudge brought Leto around to face wide brown eyes. Brevity gave him an inscrutable look before her eyes welled with tears again.
You don't even see me anymore.
Her voice was a stage whisper. Leto's stomach did a flip-flop, and he hesitantly put a hand on Brevity's arm. He garnered the courage to make his contribution to their little display.
I always see you. How could I not see a beautiful girl?
He resisted cringing at the line, randomly plucked from his limited exposure to human romance. His voice was not quite as confident as he would have liked, but he frankly had trouble thinking straight in close proximity to Brevity's large, wet eyes. Past Brevity's shoulder, Leto could see the hero scowl at Claire. He leaned over and whispered something to his author. She made a face, but the handsome man mollified her with a smile. The hero stood and began making his way out of the coffee shop, Claire tight on his heels. Just in time. The onlookers were growing bored now that Brevity and Leto weren't screaming at each other. Brevity made a melty noise, flinging her arms back for show.
Why are you always so sweet, huh?
Leto had just enough time to catch a subtle wink from the muse before she caught his chin and pressed soft, smiling lips against his.
You did good,
Brevity chattered as they popped out of the coffee shop a few minutes later.
I was going for a big classic breakup fight, but that makeup kiss made most people uncomfortable enough that they wanted to look away anyway. Good idea.
Leto managed to nod as if, yes, of course, that had been his plan all along. He kept his chin tucked into his chest to hide the heat still on his cheeks.
He was grateful to find Claire and the bronze-haired man. Leto still had trouble thinking of him as a character from a book, waiting for them around the corner. Claire had the tall man cornered against the brick building, pinned with a scowl. Brevity and Leto slowed as they approached. Claire spared a glance in their direction. It's hidden it.
The book? Brevity wrinkled her nose. Don't suppose he'll tell us if we ask really nicely?
He is not an it. He's also not an idiot and is standing right here, the man said, as he crossed his arms and slouched against the brick wall. I have no intention of going back to slowly go insane for all eternity on some dusty shelf.
And I have no intention of letting you hang around here torturing that poor girl, Claire said. The difference is I have a say in the matter. You do not.
I'm not torturing her, the hero straightened. She's so... I could never harm her.
Claire gave an impatient wiggle of her fingers.
She's amazing, she's brilliant, she's creative and thoughtful and clever and kind. That the gist of it?
Yes, the hero's face softened. You see it. She's perfect. At first, I just wanted to meet her, but now we've spent days just talking. If I can just inspire her to...
She's your author. Inspiring her to write is not your job. You've already caused enough damage.
I have been a perfect gentleman.
An arm shot out, and Claire pinned the much taller man against the wall.
You've already hurt her. Just your being here has changed her. She's going to be paying the rest of her life for your damn selfish curiosity.
The man started.
I have not. Did she argue? Claire snapped. When you made your excuses. Did she even notice you were exiting with another woman?
I am very persuasive.
The hero covered sudden uncertainty with a delicate sneer.
Not that you would understand such an intimate connection.
Claire rolled her eyes.
Yes, yes, I'm an ogre. You wound me. And you're still twisting her mind all up just by being here.
I can't be.
Color drained from his face.
An agreement, then. I'll show you where I hid it. I'll go with you. Just let me say goodbye to her.
Claire was unmoved.
No, out of the question.
It's not a trick. You can even watch me. Please.
The hero gave a pleading glance to Brevity and Leto.
I owe her a decent goodbye. At least that much. Wouldn't that help repair some of the damage I've done?
Brevity spoke up.
A proper goodbye might make him more human, boss. To the author.
Claire's face remained stony. Are you speaking as a former muse?
Speaking as a girl who remembers how hearts work, since sometimes you forget.
Claire huffed her disagreement and considered. She rustled in her bag.
Fine. Hold out your hand.
What?
Your hand, hero. If I'm letting a book walk around, I want some insurance. You're getting a stamp.
I'm not.
The hero's delicate brows knit together in confusion. Nonetheless, he reluctantly shoved up a sleeve.
This is demeaning. You already have my card. Is this really necessary?
Quite.
Claire retrieved from her bag a small stamp with a stubby wooden handle. She squinted and twisted one of the gears at the base. With a utilitarian jab, she stabbed the tip of the handle into her own palm. Brevity made a small noise as she looked away. Leto felt queasy, but entranced. Blood pooled briefly on Claire's hand before being wicked into the stamp's handle. Leto swore the wood now had a warmer, ruddier sheen. In another practiced move, the librarian snatched the hero's palm and planted the stamp's rubber end squarely in the center of his pale wrist. A red-black ribbon of ink escaped from the rubber circle and twined its way around the hero's wrist, leaving behind a worming knot of threads and shapes. The medallion pulsed on his forearm. Curiosity getting the better of him, Leto leaned closer. A tiny calligraphic font, almost too slender to read, shifted in chaotic patterns across the hero's skin.
The hero yanked back his wrist and rubbed at it tenderly. He raised his chin, regaining some of his initial arrogance.
We have an accord?
The librarian scowled, but with less force than she'd had before. She was pale, as if she'd lost energy as well as blood.
Welcome to Special Collections.
She stowed the stamp away in her bag without looking at the hero. Go. Be back here with book in hand in 20 minutes. They waited across the street from the coffee shop at a bus stop bench just long enough to accommodate all three of them. Claire had fallen into a quiet that was tense enough for Leto to wish she was yelling at people again. The librarians kept their eyes fixed on the coffee shop's window. The hero was inside for moments before reappearing at the front table with the red-headed author, just as he'd promised. Leto could see him cradling the woman's hands across the table, their heads angled toward each other. Leto rubbed the backs of his knuckles before breaking the silence.
So, do you two do this often?
I wish. I love it up here, Brevity sighed. But characters don't often just walk off with their books. And stamping is even more rare.
She gave the librarian a side glance. Leto's curiosity overcame his nerves.
What exactly does that do?
Stamping?
Again, Brevity's eyes bobbed to Claire and away before she answered.
A stamped book becomes part of the library's special collection. It means the librarian can IWL it.
IWL?
Interworld loan, Brevity explained. Loaned out to or called back from anywhere, basically. Books have a way of going where they're needed, and Hell's Library keeps unwritten art, but it isn't the only library out there. I hear great things about Valhalla's, actually. It keeps all the untold acts of heroism, Brevity said. Librarians can summon a stamped book back to Hell's Library from anywhere, even if its calling card is destroyed. If it's in special collections, it will always return to its originating library.
Sounds serious. Why don't you do that to all the books to avoid their going missing like this?
There are limits. It takes a little from the head librarian to administer and maintain a stamp.
Brevity chewed on her lip. Leto glanced back at the shop window.
What do you think he's saying? You mentioned something about fixing stuff.
Brevity started to shrug, but Claire made them both jump by answering, There's no fixing that damage.
What damage, though?
Leto asked after a moment of surprise.
I mean, he's handsome, I'll give him that, but it seems like just a date.
Claire didn't turn her attention away from the couple in the window. She drew in a long breath.
Books don't appear as normal people to their authors. Characters are made of something more to the one who created them. They're made of our dreams, our scars, slivers stuck beneath our skin. You're not meant to meet someone like that. She doesn't know it yet, but she's talking to the most alive person she'll ever meet. The kind of alive you don't find in real life. No one, no great love or her own flesh and blood will ever come close. She'll remember that glint in his eyes, the twist of his chin, a casual turn of phrase. She'll hold it quietly in her mind, like a fire that will consume everything. If she's lucky, she'll walk away haunted. But if she's unlucky, she'll believe it. She won't write him. She'll spend her whole life looking for him.
Claire's knuckles were white on her lap. If she's smart, she'll try to forget. But that brand of memory is always going to be there, seared into a tender curve of her heart, a breath caught in her chest. It kills you eventually. Cars rattled past. Brevity's expression was startlingly serious, wide-eyed and silent. Leto stammered for a response, but the librarian cut him off with a harsh laugh.
You surely didn't think I got duty in the unwritten wing by random chance.
Claire's voice was hollow. She glanced at Leto with a paper-thin smile.
You know how they say never meet your heroes?
For authors, most of all, never meet your heroes.
Ruins everything.
She shook her head as she continued to watch the coffee shop. They fell quiet. Brevity scuffed her toes on the sidewalk, while Leto squinted up at the rooftops, trying not to think about what he didn't understand. The sun was setting fast, and the brick face of the buildings began to bleed shadows, clay turning the color of dried blood. The seagulls echoed from the ferry port down the street, and Leto knew the tour boats would be evicting the last of their passengers while the ferries took on commuters headed home. He did not stop to wonder how he knew this.
"Please stop looking at me like that, Brev," Claire finally said.
"Like what?"
"Like I'm a soap bubble about to pop. I am perfectly capable. It's just been a long... There he is. About time."
The librarian shook off the look her assistant gave her and stood quickly as the hero crossed the street. They intercepted him at the corner, and the unwritten man held his hands up with a taunting smile.
"Easy, warden. I surrender to your tender mercies."
The hero's tan seemed a bit paler to Leto, and his eyes darker in the fading light.
"Your book, hero."
Claire had shed all sense of wistfulness on the short stride from the bench. The hero reached into a jean pocket and pulled out what looked at first like a small tourist guide. As his hand withdrew, however, the book expanded and shimmered until he was holding a weathered leather tome of the same style that filled the unwritten wing. Claire snatched the book out of his hands and ran a finger over the spine carefully before handing it to Brevity to stow away. "You hid it in the coffee shop."
"I did."
"And you made your goodbyes to the author?"
"Yes, it was hard. She was upset, crying."
The hero's eyes strayed across the street, searching the windowed front with a shadow of pain.
"She thinks I broke up with her."
Claire was unmoved. She pointed down the street as they began walking. Leto and Brevity fell in line behind them. "I hope you were not foolish enough to try to reveal yourself to her."
"No, of course not. Something more subtle had the same effect."
Claire stopped so abruptly that Leto nearly ran into her. She twisted the hero by one arm and diverted them into the closest alleyway. The steamy smell of old rubbish reached out to greet them. The hero wrinkled his nose, and Claire shoved him against a wall. Her heavy braids whipped and nearly caught both Brevity and Leto in the face as she wheeled on the taller man.
"What did you do?"
The hero's lips held a smug smile.
"You make the most colorful of fusses, librarian. Is being surly and dramatic part of the position?"
"It's part of having to deal with idiot heroes all day. Answer me, book, or so help me, I will take a cleaver to your spine."
Leto was uncertain whether she was speaking about the book or the man, but Claire repeated her question.
"What did you do?"
"It was just a hint, really."
The hero looked far too pleased with himself.
"I gave her my opening pages."
Her mouth dropped open.
"Phew."
She swore and shot out her hand.
"Brevity, the book."
Her assistant wrestled the large leather manuscript out of the bag. She cast a spooked look at the hero before passing it over. Claire fished out her ghostlight lighter. It filled the darkening alleyway with a faint blue glow. Brevity nudged Leto, and they both shuffled a step to make sure the eerie light wasn't obvious from the street. Claire flipped open the cover and held the glowing lighter up. Leto craned to see. The title page was intact, thick vellum tinged a buttery color even in the blue light. But as Claire lifted the page, a jagged edge came into view. Several pages, a dozen or more, had been torn from the front of the book. They'd been ripped roughly, in some places torn deep into the binding, exposing dark scarlet veins of thread. The remaining text picked up mid-sentence, and each word trembled on the page. Brevity gasped. Leto noticed Claire's shudder only because it made her braids tremble. Claire took in a sharp breath and held the ghostly lighter closer for inspection. Her lips parted and she muttered words Leto couldn't understand as she studied the grisly remains of the first pages of the book. The hero crossed his arms and slumped slightly against the bricks,
unperturbed as she gingerly closed the book. Her voice was pinched with the kind of quiet one used around a terminal patient.
You ripped out your own pages.
I did, the hero said.
That would have been painful.
It was.
Self-mutilation, Claire shook her head. You're a book. What can you possibly hope to gain?
Everything.
A fine sweat broke out on the hero's forehead, gleaming in the dim light and plastering the tips of his bronze hair to his temples. His words were fevered.
I can see it in her eyes, librarian.
She's so close to it. She wants to write, she needs it, and she doesn't even know it. It's not your...
It's cruel. You say it's cruel to visit my author when I am unwritten, but I find it monstrous how you allow these authors to suffer. And yes, allow their stories to suffer as well. To live these half-lives, stories and authors wearing holes in their souls that hold the shadow of other worlds they'll never see. When you could so easily help them. Ask your muse here.
The hero sank more heavily against the brick.
One word, one hint, one familiar face in a coffee shop. If I can inspire her to write and make us real, you should be freeing your entire library, introducing books to their authors, not jailing them. If it gets them to write and gives worlds a chance to live.
He made a guttural sound in his throat.
Who are you to stop them? Or must every author fail so they can be just as miserable as you?
Brevity gasped, as if the hero had struck a blow, but Claire's expression faded from anger to concern. Hero? Her brows knit together as she watched the unwritten man, who was sweating profusely now.
Tell me what you're feeling.
The hero looked pale, much too pale. Claire gestured and Leto quickly went to the hero's side, gripping him under one elbow. He was surprisingly light. The hero grimaced at his touch.
I'm fine. It's just damnably hot here and where was I?
A tremor shot through the man's body. His brow furrowed, then smoothed to distant dismay.
Oh dear. The pages. I think she's burning them.
And with that, the hero fainted onto the concrete. A stunned silence. Then Brevity spoke.
Well, he did break up with her.
5. Ramiel. We think stories are contained things, but they're not. Ask the muses. Humans, stories, tragedies, and wishes, everything leaves ripples in the world. Nothing we do is not felt. That's a comfort. Nothing we do is not felt. That's a curse. Librarian Poppaea Iulia, 50 BCE. Ramiel transported himself directly to the dead man's living room. The rush of air that accompanied his arrival sent up a burst of dust and fluttering papers. Mr. Jonathan Avery had not been a tidy man toward the end of his life. His Seattle apartment perched at the top of a very trendy tower downtown, but inside was a study in crumpled bags and stacks of paper. Still, Rami thought he could detect a modicum of reason in the stacks lining every available surface of the accountant's apartment, sprawled with the minutiae of a life of numbers and details. Dust came away on Rami's hands as he thumbed open a cabinet. Avery hadn't given him much to go on, even after Uriel's prodding. Upon arrival in heaven, souls were frequently fuzzy on the details of their lives. The whole business of death was traumatic, so temporary amnesia often helped new arrivals adjust to their afterlives. It was a testament to the man's desperation that he even remembered what the scrap of paper was. Which is why Ramiel was on Earth, scrounging around a dead man's apartment for clues. Uriel opted to stay behind and try to draw more answers from Avery. Rami suspected that had less to do with sympathy for the dead and more to do with Uriel disliking modern-day civilization. Rami had the impression that Uriel took the development of human curiosity as terribly inconvenient altogether.
She'd never had much use for humans beyond what function they had to please her creator. For Uriel, humans were cut flowers for a lover's bouquet, nothing more. A superficial sweep turned up little but week-old newspapers and sour milk, and a laptop buried beneath a tilting cliff of paper. He understood these sleek devices were the nexus of modern human lives, the modern confessional, but it would not give up its secrets for him. Luckily, he was less interested in Avery's secrets than in Hell's. There were more traditional ways to track non-human artifacts. He crossed the apartment to open the sliding door that led to a shriveled excuse for a balcony, then carded his fingers through his feathered coat until he found an appropriate sacrifice. Wincing as it came free, he shielded the feather from the wind in the cup of his palm. Uriel had said that the scrap came from a book created for Lucifer's realm. Rami did not know this cartoonish devil that terrorized modern imagination, but he knew Lucifer. He was a selfish angel, and likely an even more selfish demon. If something of his was missing, his servants might have already been dispatched to retrieve it. They would have a head start, possibly in this very city, would possibly even have the book already. If Rami could intercept them, he could keep a powerful tool out of evil's hands and end this before any harm could be done. Rami withdrew a silver compass from his pocket and brought it up to the feather he sheltered in his hand. He bent, muttering a few sparse words until a faint white light hummed between compass and feather. As with ink seeping from quill shaft to tip, the feather slowly changed into a deep, pitiless black, tainted like the quarry he sought. Rami let the feather flutter off the balcony, then retreated inside to watch the compass in his hands. The next time the demons moved, to or from this city, he'd have them. He just had to wait. Rami was good at waiting. 6. Leto. Books and stories are the creations of imagination, and that power is just for humans. Take it from me. Gods can will a realm into being and muses can try to edge things along, but only a mortal can imagine a different way for the story to go. How cool is that? Humans are freaking terrifying. I love it. Apprentice Librarian Brevity, 2014 CE. Balls, Claire muttered. As soon as the hero collapsed, the librarian instructed Leto to hoist his legs. It was a waddling walk to drag the prone man farther into the alley, where no passing tourists would notice. Despite being surprisingly light, the hero was tall with long arms and legs that Leto found impossible to corral. Leto grimaced as they hit another trash can that boomed loudly in the darkness. Brevity, hand full of book rather than hero, kept pace with something close to a nervous dance. She flashed Leto a reassuring smile. Cheer up! At least she's not cursing his high Lucifer's frilly satin balls, Claire grunted as they deposited the hero against a stack of stained cardboard boxes with a shove.
Never mind, Brevity said.
Leto flinched. Despite his growing increasingly used to Claire's colorful wording, each blasphemy still sent a tremor of unease through him. He set the hero's feet down gently on a box. The character's haughty face was still pale.
Is he going to be okay?
For now, I reckon.
The muse cast glances back to the alley entrance, and pedestrian traffic was slowing as the afternoon waned. Brevity crouched over the hero and poked at his shoulder.
Tearing out your own pages is one thing. They can be reattached. But his pages were destroyed. Anything that was on them is gone forever. Places, plot, or characters. You can do a lot with restoration, and Boss is one of the best, but you can't reinvent things out of whole cloth.
Which is why it's time to stop dallying and get him back to the library. Claire dusted off her hands. When you arrive, make him comfortable. Then be sure to send a message to the Muse Cache. I'll have to work on him myself, and I'll need fresh parchment and binder.
Yes, ma'am. You're not...
One more piece of business. I'll be fine. Leto's been extremely helpful so far, isn't that right? Leto jerked his head up.
Sure. I mean, I hope so. We aren't going back now?
The hum of the city streets made his skin itch, and the whole adventure had left his human form disconcertingly sweaty.
Brev will take the hero and book back, Claire said, as if to a small child. We have a quick stop before we use our ghost lights.
Claire met Brevity's concerned gaze, and some unspoken discussion occurred between the librarian and her assistant. After a moment, Brevity took hold of the hero by the collar.
I'll take care of Handsome here. Sure thing?
The muse etched a figure on the dusty concrete faster than Leto could follow. He could have sworn the brick walls wobbled, just a moment, before he was distracted by a hissing pop. Brevity and the prone hero were gone in a swirl of dust and paper debris. A trace scent of cotton candy and ash hung in the air, which left Leto alone with Hell's librarian. He pulled his gaze away from the swirling air to find Claire scrutinizing him over her glasses. Her lips were cinched up like purse strings. Leto didn't know her well enough to know what that meant, but he was sure it was nothing good. He again suffered the sense of being appraised for something he didn't understand. Claire nodded and took off down the alley at a pace that required Leto to hurry to keep up.
Do you know the origin of ghost lights, Leto? Claire asked after they had joined the evening foot traffic on the sidewalk.
She guided him around the corner at a brisk pace, stopping occasionally to squint at street signs.
Not exactly.
It wasn't much of an admission. He was a junior fiend at best. He hadn't understood half of what he'd encountered today. They wandered downhill from the business buildings, away from tall towers and toward squat ferry buildings and shops that lined the pier. Distracting smells and sights filtered his thoughts. They passed a famous chocolate shop, where buttery sweet cocoa smells wafted out and drove away the briny smell of the bay.
Leto didn't stop to wonder how he knew the scent. He just did. He knew if they turned right, they'd run into a flock of taxicabs that swarmed around the Four Seasons, and a crusty protester who always stood on that corner, waving a picture of the current president, didn't matter who, with horns drawn on. No one knew what he was protesting. The term comes from the theater, or at least from days when theaters were more popular. When a theater closed for the night, a single light was left on, usually just a bulb on a stand at the center of the stage. The stage always stayed lit, a ghost light. It had a practical purpose, of course. That way the first one to enter didn't accidentally fall into the orchestra pit.
And the non-practical?
Leto had seen enough today to understand that the non-practical was usually more worrisome. The theater ghosts, of course. Claire smiled and eased to a more sensible stroll as they passed the first trickle of crowds lining up outside dockside restaurants and bars. Theaters traditionally always closed for at least one day a week, leaving on the ghost light to appease the ghosts, to allow them one day on the stage to perform their acts, to live and love and hate and triumph on the stage like the living. She slid him an unreadable smile as they slowed down at a new corner. That part's true. In the glow of a ghost light, the dead all get one day. One day only. Claire looked down the street. Last time I was here, there was a long pier. Good view. Outdoor patio across from a ferry. It should be around here somewhere.
Two blocks down, Leto said automatically.
Claire hummed.
Aren't you handy?
They walked on, weaving through sidewalk crowds until the waterfront came into view. Far down the walk, Leto could just make out the lights of a Ferris wheel flickering on, painting the night's low clouds with luminous pinks and greens. The quiet was amiable, until Claire let out a sigh.
You're a stubborn one.
Leto's stomach dropped.
What?
All during this fiasco, you've been asking things, gawking, Mr. Questions. Fussing over taxicab ethics, even.
Claire stopped at a railing and tugged at a lock of hair irritably.
But I try to introduce the one thing you're supposed to question, and suddenly you're more gullible than a saint.
Leto shifted.
I'm not sure I... I'm sorry if I've...
No, just stop. She dragged a palm over her face.
I just finished explaining how ghost lights work. How they allow the souls of dead humans like me a day on Earth. So an obvious question might be...
Yes, do they have something to do with the hero?
A trickle of sweat lined the back of Leto's suit. He felt like he was failing a pop quiz.
No.
Claire crossed her arms and motioned to his pocket.
An obvious question to someone in your situation might be, so why does a demon need a ghost light at all?
Why does a demon need a ghost light? Well, I thought...
Leto tried to consider it. He did. The stern librarian's approval had swiftly grown important to him. But even as he repeated the words, his mind kept trying to hitch off in a new direction. Surely there were better inquiries. Where was the hero now? How did Brevity pop in and out? How were they going to fix the book?
Considering all those, his brain refused to waste time on a silly question about ghost lights.
Demons didn't deserve the luxury of learning. Leto deserved even less. But Claire's expectant look made him try. He'd grown to respect the librarians. He liked Brevity and Claire, prickly as she was, and the thought of disappointing her curdled his nerves. He slid his gaze out over the choppy water as he tried to focus. Surely there was a reason he needed a ghost light. It was obvious. Because he was new? Because of entropy? Because of the time of year? Because he was such a miserable excuse for a demon?
He felt his stomach tilt as he sorted through each possible reason and discarded it for lack of logic. He felt like he was being tipped over the top of a very tall, steep hill, adrenaline climbing into his throat. He couldn't see the bottom, couldn't stop.
Like a roller coaster. Roller coaster. A term he hadn't recognized when Claire said it right before the summons this morning. But he could picture it clearly now. The clattering metal track, the thick foam pads that came down across his shoulders, and always smelled vaguely of someone else's sweat, someone else's nerves. The flip in his gut as the roller coaster would start. The feeling of a hand grabbing his, belonging to someone soft and bright and all wonderful things at once. The smell of popcorn drifting up from below. Human smells, mortal feelings, living memories. Leto did not notice his legs failing until his knees banged against the wooden railing harshly. Claire caught him under one arm, stopping his chin from meeting the wood. She supported his weight with a grunt.
Easy now.
I'm not a demon?
Leto's voice was suddenly hoarse.
I'm mortal.
Well, technically, no. You're not mortal, not anymore. Bad term for it. Dead, eternal soul and all. But you were human, once.
Up here.
Claire hitched him to his feet and waited till Leto's knees worked again. Then she drove him forward, off the sidewalk to the pier.
Onward now, walking helps.
Leto's heart was trying to swim out from his chest, but he moved his legs woodenly.
I don't understand.
You explained it well enough before. When you die, you get what your soul's debt demands, like what you need to do to atone for what you've done, or to just forgive yourself, to heal or find justice. It varies.
My soul decided I needed to spend a century or two, God, I hope I don't reach past that, as the keeper of the unwritten library in hell. Lucky me. Yours? Evidently you needed to be an amnesiac demon. Rather melodramatic, that.
They started down the long pier. It was wide and ringed with cheery lights. Patio restaurants, people talking, boats groaning. It threatened to overwhelm him. There was a light post at the end of the walkway, and Leto kept his eyes locked on that.
You don't remember anything? Even being up here?
Claire asked. Leto squeezed his eyes closed briefly, but it did no good. His memories only tasted of bitter anise and shadows.
I know things. Stuff about here, this place. But I don't remember how I know it.
Claire shrugged. Well, it's a unique sentence for a soul, that's for sure. Must have been a hard end. Not many people see themselves as literal devils. I'm not...
Leto's hand absently tugged at an ear that was still blunted, rather than pointed here in the human world.
But I remember being a demon.
What do you remember?
Being summoned for courier duty.
What about before that?
What did you do yesterday?
Well, sure, I was doing demony stuff.
Leto faltered. To tell the truth, before this assignment, it was all a dark haze he couldn't really put his finger on. He had a fleeting impression of a figure, someone powerful and terrifying, resting a hand decked with cold rings on his shoulder. He remembered a constellation of stars falling through his hands, bitter chalk on his tongue. He knew things about being a demon, but specific memories skittered away from him when he reached for them.
How did you know?
His grouchiness doesn't usually send a brand new, full-fledged demon to deliver a file folder, first of all. We're in a library of magical texts. Do you really think we deliver messages by hand?
Well, now that you mention it.
Claire smiled. And if you're a demon of entropy, you're the worst one I've seen, because you got torn up at the idea of shorting a taxi driver's tips, and then Walter confirmed it when we set up transportation. Only human souls need ghost lights. Even if he hadn't, once we got up here, it was all the little things. Human things.
Like the cute little blush when Brev kissed you.
I did not.
Ah, there it is again.
Leto buried his face in his hands, but they'd reached the end of the pier. They walked past an open patio where diners nibbled on overpriced oysters and came to a stop at the railing. Claire nodded at the view.
You know, I had a view of the ocean when I was alive.
Not here, England. Colder. Harsher. Different kind of pretty.
Was it nice?
Claire considered. I wouldn't have the slightest idea. I suppose it would have been, had I noticed.
Leto hesitated. What will happen when we go back?
Claire braced her elbows against the railing and faced him. That's largely up to your soul. You may remain a demon. You could try to speak to Boss Creepy if you want.
No, that's all right.
Leto shook his head so fast that Claire chuckled.
He's not that bad. Well, he is sometimes.
But any good story is half exaggeration. It's not that bad, really, being...
Claire's words cut off, and her expression went rigid as she stared past his shoulder.
Before he could turn, a cold, sharp point presented itself between Leto's shoulder blades. A voice... gritty and sounding of steel and stone, spoke low from behind him.
Stand down, demons.
Speaking of exaggerations. Claire had excellent posture. She had relaxed while leaning against the railing, softening as she talked of souls and eternity. Enough that she seemed almost human. But she stood straight now, with a hard, chill gaze reserved for the voice behind him. Leto didn't dare turn with something pressed against his spine, but the gaze told him enough.
We have no business with you, Watcher, Claire said.
Leto didn't know what a Watcher was, but from the curl of Claire's lip, it didn't seem like a friendly thing. He'd never thought to ask what would happen to a soul that got stabbed while visiting Earth. In his human form, he doubted it was anything good.
But I have business with you. The voice grated. Identify yourselves, or you will be short one demonic servant.
If you are as dull as you seem, it appears I must. You're speaking to the head librarian of the Unwritten Wing. The boy you're frightening is Leto, a human.
Claire held one hand clenched on her bag, as if shielding the trade tools within.
I know a demon when I see one, and you, a librarian.
The man breathed the word like a curse, like he was admitting something.
Of course. Then I am just in time.
He let up the blade from Leto's back, though Leto wasn't sure whether it was from relenting or that he was now focused on another target.
Leto twisted as he backed up defensively.
From the voice, he'd honestly expected something closer to Walter, looming and monstrous. But the man was not much taller than Leto himself, was thick-shouldered and dark with strong features, broad face, olive skin, and sharply angled brown eyes dark with threat. A strange trench coat hung to the ground, slate gray with an odd assortment of dark-colored feathers peeping out from under the epaulets and trailing down the back in a scattered pattern. A short sword clutched in one thick hand gleamed under the pier lights. Leto risked a glance at the evening crowds on the patio not too far off, but the eyes of the diners seemed to slide right over them as they gazed across the pier. No one saw the madman with a sword, or Watcher, as Claire had called him. Whatever the man was, Leto wanted to be far away from him. Leto retreated, trying to move toward Claire, but the man flicked his gaze at him.
That's far enough.
Dark eyes shifted back, and the Watcher spoke low to Claire.
He would send you. I know what you're here for. Hand over the book.
The corners of Claire's lips tugged into a mocking smile, but Leto was close enough to see the new tension tighten her eyes.
Why, Watcher, patron checkouts are not my department. But if you want something to read, you only had to stop by during library hours. What are you after? Some bodice ripper to liven up your dull, immortal exile?
The mockery slid off the Watcher's stony face without effect.
You will have to try harder to enrage me, I'm afraid. Hand over the book.
Seeing as I have no idea what book you're referring to, you're going to have to be more specific.
Taunt failed. Claire reached for placating.
Honest, I really don't know what you're after.
Don't waste my time. The book. You didn't get all of it, did you?
Leto's mind conjured the hero's unwritten book with fangs of jagged missing pages. Leto swallowed hard, and Claire turned guarded.
There might have been an accident. What concern would that be for a watcher like you?
The man's hard lips took on a smug demeanor for the first time. The blade in his hand didn't waver as he withdrew a small clear bag from his coat pocket. Inside fluttered a scrap of paper, a corner ripped from some larger piece. As his eyes landed on it, Leto thought he heard a faint hiss, quiet words he could almost make out.
Because I got there first.
The man gave a hard smile. The whisper swam Leto in vertigo. He shook his head to clear it.
Is the author okay?
The Watcher paused.
What?
Hush, Leto.
Claire cut him off. She frowned at the paper in the man's grasp.
If those are the pages, that belongs to the library, Watcher.
The Watcher straightened his sword.
It belongs to heaven, as everything does. Now I will have the rest of the book from you.
I'm afraid you're out of luck. It's already been sent back to the library. But if you want to come by during visitors' hour—
Liar!
A voice like thunder sent the hairs on Leto's neck on end. Claire flinched as if she'd been shocked. The Watcher had cleared the space in a moment and rested his sword at Claire's breast.
I am Ramiel, soldier of the First Host, the Thunder of God. I'll have the truth.
Light shuddered just beneath the blade's surface, though Leto swore Ramiel hadn't moved. Leto twitched, and Claire shook her head ever so slightly.
Ramiel,
Claire breathed, and for the first time Leto heard fear in her voice.
I wasn't aware fallen angels had such a passion for literature.
Leto blinked at the word.
Angel.
Will you hand over the book, librarian?
Ramiel's shoulder inched down as his lips pressed into a pale line. The clear bag with the parchment dangled from his free hand at his side. Leto found himself listening for the whispers. He wasn't sure if he wanted more to pick out the words or to block his ears.
I will not ask again. I know you are neutral. You were once human. I have no quarrel with your duties, but I must return with the book.
The pause was charged, air before a storm. When Claire spoke, her voice was calm again.
Leto, dear, remember to blow out your ghost light.
She spoke without breaking her gaze from the angel.
Unfortunately, my duties extend to every book in my care. I cannot help you.
A pity. I wish it were otherwise.
A shudder came over Ramiel's gaze, eyes guarded. His sword arm trembled. The air felt on the edge of cracking, and then Leto knew. He didn't know what a watcher was. He didn't know what a watcher did. Didn't know about fallen angels or books in hell. Leto barely knew himself. But if he was human, then everything human in him, every teenage, powerless, frustrated human fiber, knew what angry men in power did when denied something they felt they were owed. Leto darted forward and grabbed desperately at the nearest thing in reach, the bag dangling from the angel's fingers. He'd intended merely to create a distraction, but the reaction was immediate and violent. Ramiel grunted, jerking his sword away from Claire's chest. His arm swung back and Leto flinched against the railing, waiting for the blow. Instead, Claire's arm crashed against Leto's chest. They careened backward and pitched against the wood.
Deep breath, she ordered as the world spun.
The railing dug into his back and then they toppled over the edge of the pier. The watcher's startled face tilted out of view, sword faltering as a free hand reached out. And then they hit the black, cold water. Ice spasmed through his nerves and the water closed over him. A brackish taste flooded the back of his mouth before he remembered to clench his throat shut. Diffuse light bled away as they sank into the bay. Claire's hand clamped tighter onto his chest as another hand pawed for the pocket that held his ghost light. Leto got the idea and managed to pull the tiny lighter out with a free hand. His lungs burned. It was too dark to see, and his movements were turning thick and sluggish from the icy Puget Sound waters. Claire's hand fumbled on top of his, and she thumbed the switch. The ghost light flared, sparking light into the dark water with an impossible blue flame. A trickle of bubbles breathed against his cheek as Claire mouthed something. He could not hear them, but he caught the last words as they bloomed quiet in the center of his head, like a half-remembered poem. And I'll drown my book.
7. Claire. A librarian has already failed if a book requires repairs. Books will age, yes, even in the library, need new binding, a tidying up of revisions. But true damage happens only when a book escapes. I expect you, apprentice, will never fail so in your duties. But should a book need repair, be prepared to devote all your time and patience. It is simple enough to repair a book's paper form. Even its manifested form will mend. But a book in the unwritten wing is the manifest potential of a story. The words are the thing. Potential cannot be ripped out and replaced like parchment or leather. You cannot substitute your own words. A story must be fed, encouraged to grow its own roots. Keep the books from damage, Gregor. Repair those you can save. But beware the stories that find their freedom. Librarian Yun Ji Han, 1817 CE. When Claire blinked, endless gnarls of red thread danced on the insides of her eyelids. She groaned, rubbed her eyes, and drained the remains of her cold tea. They'd landed back in Walter's office, flopping about like fish and bringing a hearty helping of the bay water with them. Walter had insisted on wrapping them both up in his jacket. It was big enough to practically engulf both Claire and Leto, and escort them personally back to the library. The big gatekeeper tutted about the disgrace of such treatment the whole way. The hero was still unconscious. Claire allowed brevity to make a tolerable amount of fuss before retreating to the restorations room with the hero's book, supplies, and the scrap that Leto had miraculously held onto during their escape. Despite the panic in his wide eyes, he demonstrated quick thinking. Claire was forced to revise her impression of the confused teenager. She'd allowed brevity in to deliver a hot pot of tea and a clean change of clothes before turning her attention to the process of restoring the book.
If Claire was going to get answers as to why a fallen angel, let alone a watcher, was interested in an unwritten fantasy novel, she would need to make sure the hero survived long enough to answer questions. After hours of painstaking work, she was no longer afraid they were going to lose the book entirely. An unwritten story was fragile when damaged. Pushed too far, it could fall apart, like ice cream on a summer day melting away for lack of authorial intent. There had been no time to do it properly with a full rebinding, but Claire had held the book together with thread and paste. She breathed every curse she knew under her breath as she stitched blank sheets into the wounded front pages, carefully tying the savaged front matter together with tiny red binding threads. The new pages were strong, but it still might all be for nothing if it didn't restore the story. She'd spent the last 2 hours trying to coax the words, first with soft assurances, then with orders, finally with the blunt end of her quill, nudging the trembling text to repopulate the blank pages. But they wouldn't budge. The best she'd been able to do was convince some pointless footnotes to spread to the heading of the first page. The rest of the replacement pages remained infuriatingly blank, their text lost forever, which was going to leave the hero in a predicament. Stories needed a beginning to make sense. Claire had to restore the book if he was going to go back to where he belonged. Something was missing. She turned to the scrap they'd procured from the Watcher. With tweezers, she withdrew it delicately from the plastic bag, turning it over under the lamp. The paper was yellowed and fibrous. Lichen green ink glimmered when the light hit it, and a delicate scent of anise and ash was detectable when it drifted under her nose. There was neither green ink nor such a scent in the rest of the book before her. She shook her head, setting aside the strangeness to try to puzzle out where it fit. It didn't. It took no time at all to come to the conclusion. No matter where Claire positioned it, no matter which way she twisted the scrap, the book rejected it. Even if it had belonged to one of the missing burned pages, the book would have recognized it as its own. Instead, it took all of Claire's strength to keep the tome from skittering off the table to flee the tiny piece of parchment. The book jerked again. Claire lost her grip on the tweezers, sending the scrap drifting off the table for the 100th time. The book fled to the far shelf in a froth of paper and leather. The librarian hissed a dark curse and bent to snatch the stubborn scrap between two fingers. And the blood sang in her veins. The shadows tilted, and her vision swam as a chill shuddered from the paper, up one arm and down to her toes. A flash. The edge of a shadow, the fault in a rock, the supple joint in the pulse of the world. Tender hollows designed to break. And time, time, so much time howled underneath. A wildfire of images hit her, burning up all thought, breathing ash in its wake. Undoing, unending, unyielding. She came back to herself, bent over her chair, gagging for air while the scrap of paper drifted toward her toes. That was most definitely not an unwritten book, nor anything imagined or written by man. Claire clenched her hands, clamping down on the shiver that threatened. Her pulse was still stuttering in her head, but she retrieved the tweezers and carefully lifted the scrap. She could see the age of the otherworldly parchment now, the fineness of the fibers. Not paper, not parchment. There was no way it belonged to the hero's book, belonged to any of her books. Impossible that she'd missed it before. What are you? Claire turned it under the light. Whatever it was old, powerful. The fallen angel wasn't after the hero's book after all. This was something different. A fallen angel working for heaven sought it, thought the library had it. But it wasn't of heaven, of that much Claire was certain. Nothing that sang that song could be. It was a song of destruction and endless hunger. That was hell's song. But hell had no literature of its own. A muffled groan escaped through the closed door. That would be the hero. Claire carefully set the scrap down with a sigh, pushing it away in favor of more immediate concerns. Vague murmurs drifted in through the door, summoning her. The hero would need her attention next. Then she could focus on the mystery of the scrap in front of her. Claire worked the kinks out of her aching hands before opening the door and likely answering yet more of Leto's unending questions. The human demon had an inexhaustible supply, it seemed. Her gaze flicked again to the whispering page. Questions. She had a few. By the time Claire joined the group in the main section of the library, the hero was sitting up. He draped a lanky, muscled arm over the back of the couch, while Brevity clucked instructions at him over her teapot. Leto perched at the far edge of the sitting area, wound tight as a spring. Leto was returned to his demon features, but Brevity had taken the opportunity of his soggy condition to replace his ill-fitting suit with a more comfortable pair of slacks, suspenders, and a buttoned shirt, arms rolled up, in a vivid blue that matched the muse's tattoos. He looked slightly less cadaverous, and more like a high school kid on an internship. Claire smiled. Brevity was in the middle of interrogating him, her hands animated over the caddy of saucers and cream. Leto caught sight of Claire first and coughed on his tea. Brevity's head whipped around and she stomped toward Claire.
You were attacked by a watcher?
Claire cast a sharp glance at Leto.
I see someone's been catching you up.
Attacked,
Brevity insisted.
By a watcher, an angel from before the world was made.
Technically a fallen angel. If I remember Enoch right, Ramiel was one of the human sympathizers.
Claire paused.
Though he seems distinctly less sympathetic now.
Attacked.
Threatened,
Claire corrected, shrugging her off to let the repaired book hit the desk with a thud.
Leto here staged quite a heroic intervention before anyone was attacked.
Leto colored as he looked to the floor.
Well, I just, really.
Why would he be after a character?
One emergency at a time, Brev.
Claire turned her attention to the hero. He raised his cup.
Back to the brig already, Warden? I was still working on my tea.
Claire narrowed her eyes. The hero was still pale, pale as the maddeningly blank parchments in his book. But his eyes were bright, and his hand was steady enough to mock her with a salute. Stable enough for now.
Your story still exists. That means it's time for you to go home.
Claire tapped the book.
But you've managed to do far more damage to yourself than I thought possible for any story. At least any sane one.
Characters can go insane?
Leto blinked.
Claire waved a hand. Anything long-lived will deal with bouts of questionable sanity from time to time. Unwritten characters included.
Perhaps if you spent half the energy working with us that you do keeping us contained here, such drastic measures wouldn't be needed, the hero said.
A hero with a crusade. How unoriginal, Claire said. How are you feeling?
The hero gave a sour smile.
Trapped. And famous by the sounds of it. Perhaps you should let me stick around if I've got heaven and hell fighting over me.
You cause any more trouble, maybe I'll let heaven have you,
Claire said, though it was an empty threat.
Even if heaven wanted him, she had no intention of giving up any of the books in her care. You'll be perfectly safe back in your story, however. The pages are repaired, but the words won't take.
Brevity made a small distressed noise, but Claire kept her eyes leveled on the hero.
I was hoping it might listen to you and repair itself. It's a long shot.
Long shots are a
hero's specialty,
Hero said with an uncertain lilt as he stood. He was smooth, but not quite as graceful as he'd been hours before. He approached his book and laid a proprietary hand on the cover.
What do I need to do?
First, open the book.
Claire swatted his hand away to open it to the fresh blank pages.
Now talk to your kin. Get them settled. Remind them how the story starts. Once upon a time, all that.
I was thinking, in the beginning, had a nice ring to it.
The hero sulked. He pressed his hand to the page and fell silent. They all did. Librarian, muse, and demon alike. Claire felt the book stop its frantic, minute vibrations and listened. The remaining words on the pages slowed their skittish mutations, twitching quietly as some private conversation went on. An invisible line pulled tight, then snapped. The book shuddered. The hero's hand flinched off the pages as it snapped itself shut. His brows knit together as he looked up, incredulous.
The gall! They pretended they didn't know me. Me! Oversized inkblots just...
The story didn't recognize you. The sliver of anticipation Claire had held dissipated. She'd suspected as much would happen, but she'd hoped to be surprised. She exchanged a glance with brevity. That makes sense.
No, that makes nonsense!
The hero's voice was acidic, a barbed accent surfacing with his distress.
I'm the bloody...
He snapped his mouth shut abruptly.
Without me, there wouldn't be a story.
It appears your book disagrees, Claire said, and the hero glowered up at her. By all means, make another attempt. The hero shifted uneasily.
All the better to allow you to put me back on a shelf?
Is that fear I hear? He shot her a stormy look and stepped up to the book again. He paused to spare a glance and a nod at brevity.
Thank you for the tea, Muse.
He winked at Leto before turning a cold look to Claire.
It's been an unmitigated displeasure.
Claire's smile was just as icy. Always glad to meet a fan. The hero's lip curled, and with a flourish, he slapped his hand down on the cover. When nothing happened, the little remaining color drained from his face. Claire cleared her throat. Brev, you might want to guide our hero to a seat again. Brevity helped him stumble back to the couch. The hero's green eyes had taken on a glossy look.
What does this mean?
Your damage disconnected you from your own story. Congratulations, that's a feat. That means at least until your book decides to accept you again. You're a free agent. Claire paused, then amended. Well, not free. You're still Special Collections, and you're going to be answering to me. The hero's face froze. His gaze fished around the room before coming to the book again.
Whoa, our own hero! The damsels are gonna freak!
Brevity clapped, only a little awed.
We can't keep calling him that, hero, can we?
Claire shrugged. Fine, he can rename himself when he comes out of shock. I thought janitor had a nice ring. The hero shook his head, subdued.
This isn't happening.
Claire let that go. It was probably best to let the man work it out for himself. He quite possibly had eternity to do so. Brev, if you can hold the fort here, I've got an errand I need to run. Leto, I'd like you to come along. The teenager jumped up from where he had been lingering at the edge of the group, twisting his hands together. You proved so useful before. Brevity's brow knitted.
You just got back. What now?
The Watcher's scrap did not belong to the hero's book. I need to run it past the Arcanist to be certain before I explain more than that. Claire cast a glance toward the restorations room. But there might be more than one book missing.